I want my 5280 gig now!
This is a personal prize of my own. I have Rob Paulsen, an individual that all of us have grown up with. You may know him better as Yakko from the Animaniacs. Rob, welcome to Colorado.
Oh man, I'm telling you, it is such, I swear to God, I was just saying this when I was walking over, that I do a lot of these. I probably do 15 a year and I've done maybe 50. And I've been doing Comic-Con in San Diego since we premiered Animaniacs in 1993, and then I've gone there every year since to promote some other show. But you guys are going to get over 100,000 people in 4 years.
Yes. If they said if tickets sell out tomorrow, we're going to be at 115,000.
That's crazy. The level of growth for a show that's in its fourth year, that, honest to God, that is nuts. And you know what's really a little bit odd is that if I'm in Florida doing a show and they say, what are you doing tomorrow? Doing a Denver Comic Con. They say, Denver Comic Con? And I said, why
how do you not know
you?
About this by now?
And I said, why would that surprise you? Well, you know, it's Denver. I mean, skiing and John Denver and Granola. And I said, well, they have every major sports franchise. This is a major North American city. Why does that surprise you? But clearly, there's an audience for it. You guys must have been starving for it, because to get 100,000 plus in your fourth year is, that puts you in the top five or six in North America.
Yeah, people were jonesing for this because clearly. Central Hub, even Salt Lake City Con. I mean, they're close to us, but they're not there, I think probably because they're a dry state, and I think that has a lot to do with it.
It doesn't hurt to be able to have, a couple of bottles of Tito's in your bag when you're dressed up like Superman. And by the way, can I say, I'm not a big tub of guts, but there's no way that I would shove my body into a Spider-Man costume and subject these beautiful girls to going, you know, this is my fantasy. Well, guess what? It's not the fantasy of the people looking at me, you know. But the people are so delightful. We've been signing stuff. I mean, there are so many Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain fans, and it's been nonstop. And everybody is just effervescent. They're so nice.
Yes.
It's a great city you guys have here.
Thank you. Well, I mean, you were here at the tail end of last year with the symphony we covered.
With
and
the Colorado Symphony Orchestra, which still continues to pay dividends. I bet this weekend I've had 50 people who said, hey, we were at that concert with the Colorado Symphony, and we really dug it in. And as a matter of fact, today I'm having lunch with Scott O'Neill, the conductor.
Oh, yeah, we're friends with Scott. We know Scott well.
He is phenomenal.
He's brilliant.
And when we got done, he called us after and said, I want to go on the road with you guys. I want to do this.
Yeah.
I said, really? He goes, oh, no. When, we'll fit it in. If you do it, I'm going to start plugging it. And I think what he was saying was, you guys have a world-class symphony here, and all of them are great players. But by and large, they're used to itinerant world-class people like Yo-Yo Ma or Itzhak Perlman, Renee Fleming, people who are in that vibe, and they're all the best at what they do. But the players, it was so cool, because when we went to rehearse with them, and they're not jaded, but this is what they do. They walk in, I'm a saxophone player, I'm a oboe player, whatever.
They just sit down calm as nothing
and they do their thing,
right? Job.
But when we started doing, when they kind of got a chunk of what we were really doing, you could see these kids, because the mean age is probably 30, 35. So they go, oh my God, we're doing Animaniacs music. That's Yakko, Wakko, and Don. Are you kidding me? So it's a great big universe, and we're all really peony, we're just tiny little speck, you know. And they were having people bring up their music. Would you sign my music? So there's clearly an audience for it. And,
yes. Are you kidding?
Scott and his band, man, they kicked the shit out of it. It was really good.
You guys hit the cheap seats. It was
a beautiful
orchestra. Even you and I under night four aren't walking off.
We had a blast on third night with Sarah Wilson, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It was so much fun. The audience was so great. I didn't know what I was going to say. It was very extemporaneous and impromptu, and the audience was...
Yeah, everyone was sharp. No one had too much to drink yet at that point.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's honestly, it's the whole thing here has been absolutely wonderful from minute one.
So, not to age you, or put a date to it.
Or you, not to please date me. At least I'm dating. my age.
How long have you been doing voiceovers? Well,
career? Yeah, I'm 59 years old, and I've been making my living. This is my 40th year in performing. I started making a living when I was 19. Joined a theater company and spent a year and a half doing live theater around North America, and then from there with the rock and roll bands and live theater and live music. So I've been making my living, knock wood, with the exception of maybe a year and a half or two combined, you know, doing odd jobs to survive. Hmm. But I've been putting braces on my kids' teeth and making money as an actor since I've been 19. Now, as far as cartoons go, I started really doing a lot of cartoons in the mid-80s. Johnny Quest, Smurfs, G.I. Joe and Transformers were my first ones.
G.I. Joe, I mean, yeah.
1983.
Yep.
Those are the first cartoons I did. I was Snow Job and Tripwire.
And yes, you were. And I remember G.I. Snow Job one, yeah. And you know, the top, the roof of the world, and you come skiing up.
Oh,
and I
yeah.
Just, like, I knew exactly what it was.
So that was me, and I was, I don't know, 26, 27. So yeah, those are the first ones I started doing, and then the first big show I did was Ninja Turtles. I was Raphael for, 200 episodes starting in 1987.
Well, you're still on the Turtles now, aren't you?
This is a very unusual circumstance, John. When I was Raphael for a couple hundred episodes, and cut to 25 years later, and in the intervening years, a generation, mm-hmm. there have been several iterations of Turtles that had all new casts, and I get that. A new producer gets a hold of it. They want to hire the actors they want. That's the way it goes.
It's the business.
Yeah. And so 25 years later, I do a lot of work at Nickelodeon, and Nickelodeon, which is owned by Viacom, bought the rights to everything, all Turtles, old Turtles, new Turtles, rights to action figures, everything for $60 million. Now,
is that Laird's half of the proceeds? Because Laird sold his half, and Eastman's still in control.
Eastman, right. Mm-hmm. And so those guys are, they're still, Kevin is still involved.
Right.
But the point is that Viacom owns everything. And now, if I had known they were going to sell it for $60 million, I'd have found 60 guys with $1 million, because that is...
Chump change.
Chump change. Those guys made their money back on the first batch of toys, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so my agent called and said, hey, guess what? They're doing a new version of Turtles, you know? They'd love to have you read. And I said, well, I'd love to, but do they know who I am? And not out of arrogance. It was just like, you know, I've been around. I was the original show, on the original show, and I don't want to get in there and have them say, oh... he was Raphael. Well, he's here. Let's throw the old guy a bone, you know.
it didn't
occur to me that the people who have been growing up watching Turtles are now the people who want to make it. Mm-hmm. So you can argue that they're the ones who really get the whole ethos and mythology of Turtles. So I said, sure. I went to read, and they hired me to be Donatello. And I said, when I walked in, I said, this is really cool, but is there any reason you don't want me to do Raphael? I said, no. You were great as Raphael. We love that. We love Pinky. We love all the work you've done. But we just think you'd fit the bill in our version of Donatello. And it works great. And so 25 years later, I'm back in the Turtle fan. If I live to be 100, I can knock all four of them up. That's the great thing about this job, is nobody cares that I'm old enough to be all of your fathers. They don't care. It's like, and I even said to the producers, I said, I'm considerably old, but they don't care. You know?
You're not running a race.
Yeah, Mel Blanc. I worked with Mel before. Clearly, obviously, he died. But Mel was, I think, 86 when I worked with him. He's still saying, it's up now. So I still have a few years left. But it's, and the new Turtles is fantastic.
It is.
It's doing great.
I watch it all the time.
Isn't it great? It's so clever, and it's because the people who are making it totally get it. They are bona fide Turtle freaks, and they really respect the fan base. So.
I have to buy the action figures. I'll
thanks.
I'm like, these guys are great.
Cool, buddy.
We even had a segment. We had Scotty guess the Ninja Turtle, because he got the colors confused one day, and I'm like, we're going to call it out on this.
Nice.
So it was like, guess the turtle. So
thanks, buddy. I appreciate that.
Now, do you have like a favorite character, a voice that like is your go-to voice? Because I've done some voiceover work. I've done radio. I always have like my one voice that I'll just like fall to.
Right.
Like,
well, there are default. I mean, certainly there are things that we find sort of easier, I guess, or comfortable for us, but I have always tried to sort of, go to places that are not comfortable for me to try to come up with new stuff, and I still do that. I always am trying to learn and get better. I think the one, in terms of ones that I'm fond of, I really like Pinky. because all I have to do is say, "Narf," and you guys do what you're doing now. You just smile.
You just smile. You laugh.
Everybody smiles, right? Even our friendly cameraman is all tatted up.
Hey, Dad, look at that big, strong man taking a photograph of me.
He's laughing, you know? So that makes me incredibly happy that it makes other people happy. And I won an Emmy for that character, so that was important to me and my family. But you know, Maurice, one of my dearest friends, he's a genius. But then you throw in Animaniacs and your Tress and Jess and Randy Rogel, who wrote the music, and you know, all of those people.
It's like the perfect storm.
I've used that phrase on so many occasions. And I remember even sitting with Tress on Animaniacs recordings 20 odd years ago. You know, I'd be there, Billy West would be there, Mr. Spielberg would be on the other side of the glass, and we'd be talking, and it's a great group of people, and I'd say, "Take a picture of this." This is
like the Rat Pack. This is like
really
Dino Martin.
You know, it really is. And it hasn't changed. When we all get together like we are here in Denver, this is a very unusual circumstance where we have Yakko Wacko Dot and Pinky and the Brain and Randy Rogel, who wrote the lion's share of all the music that you guys know. And to have us here is very rare, and it's total gas.
Well, we're happy to have you.
Thank you.
What's on the horizon? I mean, is there like what at this in your career? Which I think you could do anything. What is your reach goal? I mean, what are you reaching for? What do
I'm
you
always,
want?
Thank you. I always have short term and long term goals. The goal today is to make sure I get to the bathroom, which I've done, and that's the time of too much information.
We do have a lot of microbrewers here, so I can completely understand
you
that.
Only rent beer, I totally get that. But honestly, because with my little podcast, I've been doing this podcast now for 4 years that has started out totally as a labor of love. I went through a slow period a couple of years ago. And everything is relative. The slow period for me is a couple of weeks, you know, and I start to go, wow, you know, I'm a golf fanatic, but I don't play golf every day because I love to work.
Yeah.
And so I was driving my wife nuts, and she's like, "Well, then, you know, stop getting crazy because you know you're going to work. It's just slow right now." And so what I did is I had already been a guest on several podcasts, and I knew that everybody who was on my, contact list on my phone, I can call up Mark Hamill. People want to hear from the Joker. I can call up Nancy Cartwright. They want to hear from Bart Simpson. I can call up Tress McNeil. Tress McNeil, not only was Babs Bunny and Dodd and all these other characters, she's done 500 plus episodes of The Simpsons.
And Futurama.
And Futurama. She's
mom.
She's
mom in Futurama.
So I can call up Maurice. He's won back-to-back Emmys for Futurama. I can call up Billy West. He's Phil J. Fry. I can call up John DiMaggio. I can call up Tom Kenny, who's SpongeBob. And so I go, I know there are people watching these things. Maybe they want to hear from the voice actors. Well, that's what they do. So I'm getting 50,000 plus listens a month on my podcast.
Nicely done. That's a solid number.
Without any real publicity. It's all organic, you know. And so now I think the next thing I'd like to do is say, well, great, you know, Kevin Smith, whom I have great respect for, Kevin Smith and his buddies have Comic Book Men on AMC.
Mm-hmm.
And my contention is, you know, with all due respect to those guys, if people are going to watch bunch of guys talking about comic books and not getting laid or whatever.
Lack of action.
I forgive them.
You're fine.
Not being able to get a date. I can say, well, you know, because I've been in, you know, thousands of recording sessions in which we are breaking each other up, and they're all the people whom I've talked about. And I can say, this is the show. So my goal, and I don't know how far it'll go, and I don't know if I'll get it done, but it's a goal to say, I'm going to take this podcast and find a way to get some video version of it. Talk, you know, Table for Tunes, something like that, and get it on maybe Netflix or Hulu or maybe AMC, you never know. Because the truth is that the fan base for the characters created by all the actors we've been talking about are hundreds of millions of people, just for Turtles alone, right?
Wow.
And so I can get all the Turtles, the old guys and the new guys, and we talk about that, or the creators, or the guys from DreamWorks, you know. So that's what I'd like to do. But, you know, in the meantime, we're doing more Ninja Turtles.
There's a job opening on Simpsons, I heard.
Hey, I heard that too. And I also heard the door's left open. I don't know Harry, but, you know, Maurice has done a lot of work on The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
And Tress and I talk a lot about that. Harry is a bona fide genius.
Yes.
His writing work, his SNL work, his work on The Simpsons, his Le Show, you know, he's a terrifically gifted fellow. I certainly don't know the particulars of that issue, but I don't know if that's done yet. You know, sometimes
I have a feeling
they do a little tap dance, and there's a lot of time, and sometimes it's egos, and sometimes it's way different than the public knows about, and it may not even be about dollars and cents, and maybe they're
just tired
about time. Yeah, so you never know. Maybe they'll work that out. But you certainly cannot argue with the incredible cultural phenomenon that is The Simpsons.
I mean, no, that thing is a juggernaut.
The longest running scripted show in the history of television. So,
yes.
I've never been on that show, and I never will be, and I totally understand why, because they have their group.
Yeah,
and they are.
And that's all. I mean, when you mention Kevin Smith, he always goes to the same pond. I mean,
I totally
always go through the same group.
I am so.
Sandler's the same way.
Yeah, I totally understand that. And that's why I'm so utterly grateful that Sirianni and Brandon Ullman and the folks at Nickelodeon and Viacom were, you know, nice enough to say, we're going to go and have Rob Paulsen read for this, and if he's willing to do it, you know, we're willing to hire him. And, oh, my God, I'm so glad I did, because it is an excellent show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gaining a whole new group of fans, old and new. One of the most gratifying things, you guys, is when a circumstance like here in Denver, we'll get Mom and Dad, who are 36, 37 years old, and they're dressed like Leo and Donnie, and Bobby and Sissy are dressed like Leo and Raph. And they're two generations of intense Turtle fans. And they get, have dinner watching the old Turtles and the new Turtles, and they do it every week. And they say, we have our family time watching the Turtles. How great is that?
It doesn't happen enough is the problem.
It doesn't.
No.
But it's happening more and more as a result of this wacky cartoon show. So that is not a small thing.
No. That's a major accomplishment.
I am so grateful to be part of that, you know. And we're going to have this really fun show for little kids. For Disney called Doc McStuffins that continues to win awards, and they get Michelle Obama and some of the cast of Downton Abbey, and I just did one with Gina Davis, and David Copperfield, and all these people are coming because they all have kids and grandkids who love it, and they say, you know, David Copperfield, yeah, my daughter has this show. I'm going to do it. And so there's a lot of really fun stuff going on, and we're doing live, Randy and I are doing live Animaniac shows, music shows like we did yesterday.
Right.
That's clubs around the country. And then we're also pushing to do more shows with orchestras around the country. So keep your eyes and ears open. We're coming to an orchestra near you.
Nice. Now, how many comic book conventions have you done? I mean, you're here for...
Probably 50 total.
Wow.
Last year I did 20. This year I'll do probably 15.
Holy crap. I'm happy if I can get like 4 or 5 in a year.
Yeah. I think... It's a couple things. It's like I like it or not, I'm like an old shoe, man. I've been around for so long now, and there's such a huge fan base that loves.
They love Pinky and they love Yakko and they like Arthur on the Tick and they like Carl and Jimmy Neutron and
they like both Turtles and some of them like the podcast, and so you find that whether you're in Australia or Colorado or Germany or Toronto, there are fans everywhere who love all of those shows.
Nice.
I've been really fortunate, man. I've worked on probably 5 pretty iconic shows: Animaniacs, Pinky and the Brain, Jimmy Neutron, The Tick, 2 iterations of Turtles, and then people throw in the Tinkerbell movies and Mighty Max and The Mask and all this other stuff. And we, because people are nice enough and nobody cares what I look like, I can still work everywhere.
See, I want Pinky versus Joker. I would love to see that conversation.
Well, when I had Mark Hamill on my podcast, and we did that. He was going,
and how he gets into the character, because he like hunches over
and gets himself into it. And when I had him on twice, once we went to his house and chatted for an hour and a half, and then I came and he was did a live one at the improv about a year ago, and. You know, this was just when he was getting ready to go work on the new Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that none of the fans asked him at all about Star Wars. They all wanted to hear about the Joker.
Absolutely.
We had 200 people there, a nice little club on Melrose, and all they wanted to hear about was Joker. Because you know what? For kids, my son is 30, and he's a Batman nut. And he loves, you know, Christian Bale. He loves the franchises, the movies, Chris Nolan movies. But to him, and a lot of people in his generation, Batman is Kevin Conroy.
Without a
and
doubt.
The Joker is Mark Hamill.
Anytime I read the Batman comic, I hear Kevin Conroy's voice every time. Even with like the new Scott Snyder and Capullo stuff right now.
It's powerful.
It is. And I even told him that last year because he was here for Comic-Con.
Oh, man.
And
I loved
him. And
he's
I'm
a
like,
great guy.
He is. I was like, I heard you were retiring. He's like, who's spreading these rumors? Yeah. It's Batman voice. And I'm like,
oh, man. He opens his mouth and sends chills down your spine, and he tells this great story that again, coming to these conventions really, really solidifies how not only how fortunate those of us who do this for a living are, but how often profoundly impactful the characters that we voiced are to people.
They shape generations.
We have no idea, because it's a fairly anonymous profession, but here we're, you know. And so people come up and they open their hearts out and they tell you, oh my God, you know, the only thing that my father and I, that we could even bind over was Pinky and the Brain. And he passed away. We had a very difficult relationship. We really loved watching that
like
show.
Like sports or something like
that. Oh my
that.
God, yeah. Right, yeah. So Kevin tells a story after 9/11 where he had some friends who were in the New York City Fire Department. And they add up, this one friend said, hey man, would you come down and maybe, you know, you can meet some of these guys. Because you're an iconic voice of Gotham City. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So maybe you could meet, so he says, do me a favor, they're at this big soup kitchen feeding the rescuers, the people who are out there digging through all this rubble, an impossibly difficult job, right?
Right.
So he says, hey man, it was a big room, and they had a PA system. So Kevin got on the PA system, and all these big, strong firefighters, these exhausted policemen, these first responders, many of their friends have died, right? And they're in there eating, and Kevin gets on this loudspeaker and says, I am the knight. You know, he starts doing this.
The opening line? From
like, oh! And then he gets his, I am Batman. And I mean, I'm getting tingly,
right? I get
chills
just thinking about it.
And these big, burly guys have tears in their eyes and they're clapping, you know, because it was this iconic sound of the city, and these so-and-sos were not going to win, you know? Batman was saying, hey, man, we're big. I'm Batman. I'm going to kick their asses, you know? And it was so great. And Kevin told me, he gets tears in his eyes. He said, I mean, I knew that people watch it, and I knew they love it. But I had no idea that it was that profoundly impactful. And I hear that about Turtles, about Pinky and the Brain, about Animaniacs. About, you know, the only thing that got my mother through her chemotherapy was Animaniacs. Who knew? So, man, I'm here to tell you that I have the second half or the last act of my career, I'm getting to reap the benefits of these really sweet people
mm-hmm.
who come to me and tell me all this. And it's not just me. I don't care what, Bart Simpson, who, you know, whatever. And it blows my mind.
Wow.
And so I don't take it lightly at all. And I really, sometimes you kind of go, well, look what I'm doing. That's a nice way to make a living. But hey, you know what? It's way beyond that for many people. And so I, for your listeners out there, I am incredibly fortunate to be in this position, and I do not take it lightly.
Well, in years prior, they've always had a celebrity read to the kids.
Yeah.
For the
I had no idea that this is a nonprofit.
Yes, this is a nonprofit.
And I told the people, the young, beautiful young girl, Flint, who's helping me this weekend, her dad is involved in the classroom, the pop comical classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh my God, is there anything I can do to help? I'd love to come and talk to the kids about what I do or about finding your passion, you know. Anything like that. I want to get involved. This is great. What a great way to fund this program. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it encourages literacy. It also encourages the arts and everything else
yeah.
that's involved with it. So, I mean,
it's at-risk youth exploded
so much more than what the original concept
yeah.
was, because it was originally just comic book classroom.
Right.
But it is encompassed so much more, and it's so much more
and
with
it's
the
such
kids.
A noble
it is.
Thing. What a great, and it feeds the beast, right? It's
mm-hmm.
such a cool thing.
Well, and I mean, it's probably one of the most kid-friendly cons you're going to
find.
Oh,
totally.
Without a doubt. Because,
yeah.
I mean, you've got the kid corral up there. You've got parents working with their kids on crafts and
right.
structuring things around comics and even the classes themselves. You have a comic book at the end that is your product. And it is
fantastic.
Brilliant.
I had
brilliantly
no idea.
Educated.
I really didn't. And I really hope that I can get more involved. This Denver, as you know, now is becoming this like this second
home.
Home
for you.
I can't, you know,
I got an apartment I can rent to
you. Hey, man, I'm there. I'm having dinner tonight with my favorite cousin in the world who lives in Evergreen. And I've been here many times. I was here last year twice to do some legwork before the concert. Came for the concert. Came for this. I can't wait to come back. You know, I love this.
You don't
place.
Have to leave. I mean, there's no coming back.
Yeah.
Just hang out for a while.
I mean, you can have my room. I'll go bunk with Maddie.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I think that's a sitcom waiting to happen.
That's right. We've got a Three's Company of the older version. No, it's a great city, and I'm so excited to be involved with this. So I really do want to offer my services, and to the extent that they can use me, I hope they do.
I hope they do, because I would like to see you read to the kids.
Oh, it'd be I've done that
hundreds of times, which I think would just be brilliant to have you up there and just do
a
menagerie of different
voices
as you're reading.
I'm a chronologically, you know, your childhood is a middle-aged white guy, you know, and I'm chronologically getting older, but I
we're always a dad.
Right.
I mean, at this point, you're always a father. You're, yeah. Regardless how old your kids are.
Yeah, and I make my living doing what used to get me in trouble in seventh grade. It hasn't changed. So I gotta act like a goofball. I just have to grow up and around my wife.
Yeah, she expects some level of civility out of you. My wife's the same way.
Yeah, stop it.
So, I mean, for future voice actors or people who are trying to get into, what is the best advice? I mean, the one solid gem that you can say, above all else, please focus on this.
It's about acting. The characters that you guys love are well executed. They're well performed. They're well acted. It's not just about the funny voice.
Because they have a personality behind the voice.
And make it clear, I don't draw and I don't write. It is a collaborative effort. And the characters are famous. I'm not. I've generated a certain amount of celebrity as a result of working on a lot of famous characters, and I really appreciate that. But people are interested in talking to me because of the characters they like. And so the reason you love Batman or Bart or Homer or Darkwing Duck or any of those things are because they've been created at a high level, and with respect to the voice part, that the voices are well. They're well acted. Mm-hmm. So the people whom you admire, Jim Cummings, Tress MacNeille, Tom Kenny, Frank Welker, Peter Cullen, they all have a performance acting background. I know one or two people in my life who are successful voice actors who have not started doing kind of stand-up, improv, live theater, music, which is where all of us started. So it is about acting. And to those of you who are listening and you want to do voice work, I didn't come to L.A. to be a voice actor. I came to be an actor and a singer, which is how I got started and segued into the work. But it's about if you're a singer, singer. If you're a singer, sing. If you're a dancer, dance. If you're improv, fine. If you're mime.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, don't do it in front of me. They give you a knuckle sandwich.
That's a card over
here. Just keep doing your work, man. Keep doing live theater. It's not, I know this sounds, it's easy for me to say because I do make my money from this. But I never started doing this for the money. Nobody ever started.
No, it's a love.
It's a love, and it's a Jones, and you do it because you can't not do it. And it's still that way for me. I don't make any money on the podcast,
No, but it's a joy. We don't. I mean,
this you guys aren't going to get rich on this.
No.
It's you might have a sponsor or whatever, but we do it because we love it. And if it morphs into something else, great. So, and there are a couple of resources that I would absolutely suggest to people who are interested. One, as a shameless plug, it's free.
Shameless plug.
Listen to my podcast because everybody whom we're talking about has been on it, and they tell you how they got started. It's called Talkin' Tunes, T-A-L-K-I-N, apostrophe, T-O-O-N-S. You can get it on iTunes under the TV and film category, or you can get it on my website, which is Rob Paulsen, B-A-U-L-S-E-N, live.com, Rob Paulsen Live. And so check that out because they're free, and I've got 140 of them. They're funny, they're informative, and you'll really like them. Or you can check out a great website by another actor who's been on my website on my podcast a couple of times, D. Bradley Baker, phenomenally gifted, right?
Super talented, yes.
Uber talented. And D has a website he's put together just for questions like this called I Want to Be a Voice Actor.com. Very easy to remember, right?
Yep.
But he tells you all the nuts and bolts about how we do it, how to get an agent, all of that stuff. Do I have to be in LA? Yes or no, depending on blah, blah, blah. And so there's a lot of good information out there. Those are two great resources because they're geared toward this medium, right? And but the main thing is, man, if you sing in church, sing. If you're local, you have a vital community theater, get involved. If you can do improv and there's no improv thing, then buy some theater games book. Buy a Viola Spolin, video game. Improv game book and get together with your friends. And
improv is brutal. I've done it like twice,
it's
tough, but it is the biggest.
But
reward
also,
possible.
Even if you never make any money at it, if you become very facile at thinking on your feet and extemporaneous speaking, it will never not serve you. You might be in a position where you say, wow, I got this job at a big pharmaceutical company. I got to speak at a convention. So now you know what? I've done a lot of theater games. I can think on my feet.
Pretty much.
Somebody throws me a curve, I can deal with it. And it will just make you comfortable in your own skin. And it's fun. So keep doing it. All of that stuff comes into it.
Thank you, Rob. I know I'm going to ask the fan question, the geeky thing.
Yeah, please.
Will you give me the Yakko around the world songs. Because I mean, that is by far the quintessential, because I think everyone, that's probably like your number one request. Or
totally.
I mean, what is your, band comes up to, what is like the first thing out of their mouth?
In terms of music, they like that one, and people, you know, it's kind of sweet, because I'll say, the problem is when people stop asking, you know. So great. So those of you who are kind enough to have, thank you very much to all of you and your parents who, as a result of your generosity, have buying action figures and make my kids' teeth straight.
New rims on my car.
Thank you very much for having me on your show, and thank you very much, Denver. And I leave you with the following, written by Randy Rogel. It goes something like this. He goes, United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, Haiti, Jamaica, Peru, Republic, Dominican, Cuba, Caribbean, Greenland, El Salvador, too, Puerto Rico, Colombia, Venezuela, Honduras, Guyana, and still Guatemala, Bolivia, then Argentina, and Ecuador, Chile, Brazil, Costa Rica, Belize, Nicaragua, Bermuda, Bahamas, Tobago, San Juan, Paraguay, Uruguay, Suriname, and France, Guiana, Barbados, and Guam, Norway, and Sweden, and Iceland, and Finland, and Germany, now, and Greece, Switzerland, Austria, Czechoslovakia, Italy, Turkey, and Greece, Poland, Romania, Scotland, Albania, Ireland, Russia, Oman, Bulgaria, Saudi Arabia, Hungary, Cyprus, Iraq, and Iran, there's Syria, Lebanon, Israel, Jordan, but the Yemen's been waited by Bahrain, the Netherlands, Luxembourg, Belgium, and Portugal, France, and Denmark, and Spain, India, Pakistan, Burma, Afghanistan, Thailand, Nepal, and Bhutan, Cambodia, Malaysia, then Bangladesh, Asia, and China, Korea, Japan, Mongolia, Laos, and Tibet, Indonesia, the Philippines, and Taiwan, Sri Lanka, New Guinea, Sumatra, New Zealand, the Borneo, and Vietnam, Tunisia, Morocco, Uganda, Angola, Zimbabwe, Djibouti, Botswana, Mozambique, Zambia, Swaziland, Gambia, Guinea, Algeria, Ghana, Burundi, Lesotho, and Malawi, Togo, the Spanish Sahara, Islam, Benin, Gabon, Tanzania, Somalia, Kenya, and Mali, Sierra Leone, and Algeria, Dahomey, Namibia, Senegal, Libya, Cameroon, Congo, Zaire, Ethiopia, Guinea, Bissau, Madagascar, Rwanda, Bayar, and Cayman, Hong Kong, Abu Dhabi, Qatar, Yugoslavia, Kuwait, Mauritania, then Transylvania, Monaco, Liechtenstein, Malta, and Palestine, Fiji, Australia, Sudan.
Denver Comic Con 2015.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Rob.